The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 19, Text Number 7, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on April 9th, 2011, in New Delhi, India.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 19, Text Number 7. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Na janma nunam mahato na thavagam na van na buddhir nakritis tosha hetu tire yad vishishtan api no vanaukashash chakara sakye bata lakshmanagraja na janmanunang mahato na saubhagam na vannabhaudir na katisvato no vanna buddhir nakatista shohetu tayan vishishtannati na vanaukasash sakara sake bata lakshmanagraja na janmanunang mahato na saubhagang na vanna buddhir nakatistho shohetu tarayad vishishtan natino vanaukasash chakara sakke bata lakshmanagraja na not janma birth in a very polished aristocratic family. Nunam, indeed, Mahata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Na, nor, Saubhagam, great fortune. Na, nor, Vak, an elegant manner of speaking. Na, nor, buddhi, sharpness of intelligence. Na, not, akriti, features of the body. Toshahetu, the cause of pleasure to the Lord. Tai, by all those above mentioned qualities. Yet, because, Vishishtam, rejected. Api, although, na, us, Vanaokasa, the inhabitants of the forest. Chakara, accepted. Sakye, in friendship. Bata, alas. Lakshana Agraja. Lord Sri Ramachandra, the elder brother of Lakshmana. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. One cannot establish a friendship with the Supreme Lord Ramachandra on the basis of material qualities, such as one's birth in an aristocratic family, one's personal beauty, one's eloquence, one's sharp intelligence, or one's superior race or nation. None of these qualifications is actually a prerequisite for friendship with Lord Sri Ramachandra. Otherwise, how is it possible that although we uncivilized inhabitants of the forest have not taken noble births, although we have no physical beauty, and although we cannot speak like gentlemen, Lord Ramachandra has nevertheless accepted us as friends? Purport. In a prayer to Krishna expressing her feelings, Srimati Kunti Devi called him Akinchana Gochara. The prefix a means not, and kinchana means something of this material world. One may be very proud of his prestigious position, material wealth, beauty, education, and so on. But although these are certainly good qualifications in material dealings, they are not necessary for achieving friendship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who possesses all these material qualities is expected to become a devotee. When he actually does, the qualities are properly utilized. And those who are puffed up by a high birth, wealth, education, and personal beauty, Jainashvarya Sruta Shri, unfortunately do not care for developing Krishna consciousness. Nor does the Supreme Personality of Godhead care about these material qualifications. The Supreme Lord is achieved by devotion, bhakti-amam abhijanati. One's devotion and sincere desire to serve the Supreme Personality of God are the only qualifications. Rupa Goswami has also said that the price for achieving God's favor is simply one's sincere eagerness to have it. Lal yam mekang mu yam. In the Chaitanya Bhagavad it is said, Kola vecha seva kera deka bhagya sima Brahma Shiva Kande Yanra Dekiya Mahima Dane Jane Panditye Krishna Nahipai Kevala Bhaktira Vasha Chaitana Gosani. Behold the great fortune of the devotee Kalavecha. Lord Brahma and Shiva shed tears upon seeing his greatness. One cannot attain Lord Krishna by any amount of wealth, followers, or learning. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is controlled only by pure devotion. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a very sincere devotee whose name was Kolavecha Shridhar, and whose only business was to sell pots made of the skin of banana trees. Whatever income he had, he used 50% for the worship of Mother Ganges, and the other 50% he provided for his necessities. On the whole, he was so very poor that he lived in a cottage that had a broken roof with many holes in it. He could not afford brass utensils, and therefore he drank water from an iron pot. Nevertheless, he was a great devotee of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a typical example of how a poor man with no material possessions can become a most exalted devotee of the Lord. The conclusion is that one cannot attain the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna or Sri Chaitanya Gosani through material opulence. That shelter is attainable only by pure devotional service. Anya bilashita shunyam gyanakarma yanavridam anukuyena krishnanu shilanam bhakti rutama. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality, Lord Krishna, favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. And that is called pure devotional service. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Barakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagra Jata Sagana Raghunatan Vita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha
So there's no two ways about it, actually. Only by pure bhakti. Bhaktyaj vananjana shakya aham evang vidarjana gyatum drashtum chatad vena praveshtum chaparandapa. Bhagavad Gita 11:54. My dear Arjuna, only by undivided devotional service can I be understood standing before you and can thus be seen directly. Only in this way can you enter into the mysteries of my understanding. We try through so many other means to be happy by making our material arrangements for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But does that ever make us happy? No. Why? Why does it not make us happy? Why? It is making all the arrangements for eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Why does that not make us happy? Because we're not the body. Like that lady who got the bird cage, you know. She bought a very expensive bird cage at a very expensive department store. She wanted to impress all of her friends with her bird cage. So, on the way back from the department store, she said, well, I better get a bird also, put in the cage. So what was she more interested in, the bird or the cage? She was interested in the cage more, you see. She took all arrangement to polish the cage very nicely. And she forgot about that poor little bird. The first day he was okay. They had given him a good meal at the pet store. He was okay the first day. But the second day he was losing a little shakti. Now the third day, finished. What a stupid lady she was. She took all arrangement to polish the birdcage very nicely and she neglected the bird. We laugh at how stupid that lady was, you see. But we're just as stupid. We're doing the same ridiculous nonsense that she was. We're taking all arrangement, making all arrangement to be happy on the bodily plane. And we're neglecting the soul with them. You see? The only way we can be happy is to awaken the pure bhakti within the heart. There's no other way we can do it. Well, maybe I get a big position in ISKCON, that'll make me happy, you know. Sannyasi, GBC, temple president, Sankirtan leader, head pujari. If I had some big position, that'll make me happy. No. you don't have pure bhakti, there's nothing that can make you happy. We've seen many big leaders in our society. Where are they now? They've left our movement. Why? Because they went after the position and they got it, but they didn't go for the pure bhakti. You see? Therefore they are gone. If you want actual happiness, you must cultivate pure devotional service. There's no other way. And whatever position comes in Krishna's service, that's all right. You make me the toilet bowl cleaner, that's okay. You may be GBC temple president, that's okay. You see, it doesn't matter the position you may have in Krishna's service. Whether you're a Hanuman throwing boulders in the water for Lord Ram, or you're the little spider putting the dust, it doesn't matter. What is your position? Man, woman, Brahmin, preacher, pujari, whatever it may be. Cook, accountant, doesn't matter what your position is. Whether you're living outside the temple as a householder, or you're living in the temple as brahmachari, it doesn't matter what your position is. If you are cultivating pure devotional service, then you will be successful. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa deva hridaye shivalokayanti yang shama shunjam chintya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. You simply have to anoint your eyes with the ointment of love of God. That's all. You will see Krishna at every minute. Yamang pashati sarvacha sravanjamai pashati tashaham na panashani satchamena pranashati. Bhagavad Gita 6:30. For those who see me everywhere and see everything within me, I am never lost, nor they ever lost to me. So just learn how to connect with Krishna within everything, and everything within Krishna through cultivating pure devotional service. Try to see the loving hand of Krishna bestowing mercy upon you at every minute, because actually Krishna is doing that. Krishna is bestowing loving mercy upon us at every minute. We have to learn to see that hand of Krishna. Instead, people say, well, why God did this to me? I'm a pious person. Why God did this to me? You see, they become angry at God. Doesn't he know how good I am? Why he did this to me? You see, these people are ignorant of the science of bhakti. They don't see how Krishna is blessing in every situation, the good situation, the bad situation, the beautiful situation, the ugly situation. Actually, it's all beautiful. There's no such thing as bad or ugly for someone who is fixed in Krishna consciousness. Everything is beautiful for him. Every experience. Even death is beautiful. One of my godbrothers, Prahila Prabhu, recently left the body. And he was saying, instead of feeling sorry for himself, oh no, now I'm dying. He was feeling sorry for us. You're stuck here for a while longer, but I'm getting out of here. You see, for one who is Krishna conscious, there is no fear of death. Death is exciting. It's an exciting nectar. Wow. Death, wow, what nectar. You see, what is the Sanskrit word for nectar? Amrit. What does it literally mean? No death. So for someone who is actually tasting the nectar of pure devotional service, there is no such thing as death. It doesn't exist. That person is living in immortality. He is living in eternity. Even when he walks on the face of this planet within a material body, he is already living in the spiritual sky. And that can be you, Prabhu. That can be you, Mataji. It's simply up to you whether you're determined to fix your consciousness in the mood of pure devotional service. It's up to you. Not up to your husband, not up to your wife, not up to your bhakta leader, not up to your temple commander, not up to your guru, not up to your temple president, your GVC. It's up to you, Prabhu. Are you willing to fix yourself in Krishna consciousness, pure bhakti, at every minute? From the moment you rise in the morning to the moment you take rest in the evening, are you willing to keep your mind fixed in the mood of pure devotional service? It's up to you. Actually, it's ecstatic to do this. Instead of being overly caught up in the day-to-day particulars of your life, which are going on like a drama on the stage anyway, why not focus on the inner meaning of your existence? You see? That Krishna is emanating me from Himself for the sole purpose of having a loving relationship with Him. That's why I exist. I don't exist for any other reason except to have a loving relationship with God. So let me just get down to doing my duty, really. Being a pure devotee is our duty. That's just our duty, that's all. Your duty is to be a pure devotee of Krishna. And if we are not the pure devotees, we're neglecting our duty. We're being negligent in our duty. Our duty is to become pure devotee of Krishna. That's why Krishna tells us, sarva-dharman parityaja. Give up all this nonsense. Try to enjoy this, try to enjoy that. Give it all up, sarva-dharman parityaja, and just surrender to me. It's not difficult. And if you're experiencing difficulty, it's not difficult to get free from the difficulty. All you have to do is ask Krishna to help you. My dear Lord Krishna, I want to surrender unto you fully and become your pure devotee, but I'm having so many difficulties, my Lord. Please help me. Please, Krishna, help me. If you will plead to the Lord as a small child crying for the mother, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You think Krishna will neglect your prayer? I don't care about you. You think Krishna will neglect your prayer? No. Krishna is within your heart. He has been waiting. He has been traveling with you for millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions and octillions of lifetimes, wondering and waiting, when will this soul finally give up flirting with Maya Devi and agree to take up pure devotional service? When will this desire finally desire pure devotional service? So when you make that conscious choice that from now on, I want nothing but pure devotional service, Krishna is going to go, wow, this is great. I'm going to give him all the help I possibly can. Every arrangement within his mind, the external situation, every single situation that he's in, I will orchestrate it to help this person become the pure devotee as quickly as possible, as easily as possible. Krishna is not mean. Krishna is not cruel. He will do everything possible to facilitate you. Simply, we have to desire pure devotional service, and only pure devotional service. But what if I don't desire it? What do I do then? I just want to eat and sleep, and whenever it's the mahaplay. If I don't desire pure devotional service, what am I going to do? Well, desire to desire it. And if you don't desire to desire it, desire to desire to desire it. You see? And if you don't desire to desire to desire it, then desire to desire to desire to desire it. And if you don't desire to desire to desire to desire it, then desire to desire to desire to desire to desire it. You understand? So there's hope for everyone, even fallen rascals like me. You see? There's hope for everyone. Even for the most fallen, degraded pieces of trash like me. There's hope for all of us. Now, the way, if I think about what I was like before I joined this movement, how fallen and nonsense and what a rascal I was, the way I look at it is this. If I can become a devotee, anybody can become a devotee. I mean, I was really a rascal. I was really, really a rascal character. And if I can become Krishna conscious, I'm sure that anybody can become, because I don't think there could be anybody more of a rascal than I was. I really don't. If I can make it, anybody can do it. So I'm convinced that anybody on this planet can become a devotee of Krishna, because I was able to do it. I'm sure anybody else can do it too. So we have to encourage the people, you see. We have to be kind to them. We have to encourage them. We have to give them our kindness. Actually, it's Krishna's kindness. We have to be the delivery men, the DHL men for the mercy of Krishna by giving them kindness and love. Prasadam, transcendental knowledge, the holy names. Care about them. Care about their suffering condition. Try to help them to become happy, you see. This is how we become Krishna conscious. Some devotee took the time and trouble to be kind to us, to give us his mercy, his love. And that inspired us. This person cares about me, you see. At least in my case, I know that was certainly the case. Vishnu Jana Swami Maharaj Ki Jai, this great sannyasi of our society. He's a legend, actually. He was a legend in his own time. His holiness Vishnu Jana Swami. He came to our city, Austin, Texas, and he was so kind, he was so merciful. Just unbelievable mercy. He was so tolerant of our offenses and so kind to us. Just like a mother with the little children, he was like our mother. He was so kind to us. So we have to be kind to these people. A devotee is kind. That's what it means to be a devotee. Devotee is an ocean of mercy. If I'm not kind, I'm not a devotee. If I'm not kind, then I'm a mayavadi, impersonalist. If I'm actually a devotee, then I must be kind to everyone. That is what it means to be a devotee, to be kind. So, we have a few minutes left. I can ask if there's any questions. Any questions? Yes, Prabhu. Be on standby to tell me, then repeat the question for me. You get on this side. Yeah. Well, the mic's coming. Why don't you go ahead and do it and waste, instead of wasting time.
So Prabhuji, if Hanumanji is making this statement, here Hanumanji is making this statement that the Lord Ramchandra established friendship with me. So Lord Ramchandra treats Hanumanji.
Just do it. Keep going.
Lord Ramchandra treats Hanumanji like friend, but Hanumanji treats Lord Ramchandra like servant. He's always the
servant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mood of servant.
So you're wondering, what is this? Is this rasa bas? Or what are you? Well, you're wondering, what is this? Two different rasas. That's the question.
Only no. This is only comment that Hanumanji, although he is saying that.
I can hear you better without the mic, actually. I can do better without the microphone. It makes an echo, it makes it hard.
Lord Ramchandra treats Hanumanji like friend and he embraces him. But Hanumanji always does not feel himself to become friend of
That's right, Ramchandra. Okay. So you had a question? You just want to make a comment? Yes. That is the etiquette. We see this in Prabhupada's pastimes also. Prabhupada would, in Vedic culture, equals embrace, and you offer your obeisances to your superior. That's the system, you see. But Prabhupada would sometimes the superior person will embrace the junior. It's like he would embrace a friend. So that's a very special mercy. I was there when Prabhupada embraced Vishnujana Swami, for example. I mean, you wouldn't, in other words, you don't go up to embrace your spiritual master. That's a big violation of etiquette, to being familiar. You never go to Guruji Maharaj, I want to embrace you. No, you never do, you see. But if he embraces you, wow, special mercy, you see. You see, I bow down at your feet, that is my position. But if he embraces you, that's very, very special mercy. So in that way, Ramachandra was giving that special mercy to Hanuman. But his move is obeisances, you see. So any other points or questions? Yeah.
Yeah, I came in late, I'm very sorry. But the point I wanted to ask was, towards the end you said that a devotee is kind, else we are Mayavadis. So the question is, we are so much caught up in our history of being self-centered, so many lifetimes and even in this birth. How is it that we will finally get down to being kind? Is there something that we...
How does one activate kindness?
Yes.
And get over the impersonal tendency?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, Prabhu, you really made a good point here, because our nature... after millions of lifetimes of being self-centered, you know, egotistical, selfish rascals, it's not easy to get rid of that selfish tendency. This is why the association of devotees is so important, you see, because every one of us are very proud, we're very selfish. So how do we get out of this trap? I mean, it's really a trap. In other words, we foolishly think that being selfish is the way to be happy, you see. So the first thing we have to do is to realize that selfishness or self-centeredness is misery. The material society trains us to be selfish. We're taught in the material society that selfishness is the way to be happy. So we have to realize we've been programmed in the wrong way. But the society is programmed psychologically to be selfish rascals. And we have to realize I have been trained in the completely wrong way to think that selfishness is the key to happiness. Selflessness is the actual key to happiness. So we have to understand philosophically, first of all, that selfishness is a miserable condition. Selflessness, the pure loving mood for the Lord and His parts and parcels, selflessness, that is the key to actual happiness. So if we understand the philosophical principle, and then we try to, then we work to overcome it. So whenever you see you're selfish, you have to be a good, very good psychoanalyst of yourself, Prabhu. When you see that selfishness, your own selfish nature is manifesting itself, then you have to curb it down. Say, wait a minute. Stop right here. You're being selfish. You shouldn't have to wait for somebody else to chastise you. You should observe your own heart and see when you're acting selflessly and when you're acting selfishly. You have to see your selfish nature and then stop and say, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to act in a selfless way, as a servant, not trying to be the master. I'm going to try to be the servant. So, but the trouble is, we're so caught up in our own sense of self-worth that we can't make that distinction always. We think we're being selfless, but actually we're being selfish. So that's why we need devotees. That's why we need a spiritual master. You see, we need guru, we need sadhus, and we need the shastras. Because these three are like lighthouses for a boat that's going through a dangerous harbor in the middle of the night. Those lighthouses will protect us. The sadhus, the saintly devotees, the spiritual master, our Guru Maharaj, other siksha gurus as well, the scriptures, these will help us if we keep always mindful of the teachings given in the shastras, the instructions and the examples of the sadhus and the spiritual master. These things will keep us from wrecking our ship and the rocks of selfishness. So the good news is Krishna, it will help you. You see, if one has that sincere desire to overcome this selfish nature and praise to Krishna, "My dear Lord, please bestow upon me this pure selfless nature of prema bhakti, where I'm always in the mood of serving and loving the Lord and His parts and parcels to connect them with Him." If one sincerely begs Krishna to help him to achieve this state, then Krishna will help from within as the Chaitya Guru, from without as the spiritual master and the devotees. He will help you. So simply one has to have that sincere desire. Recognize, I have this big, bad selfishness problem. I have to get over it. And Krishna will help. Does that help? Thank you for a very nice question from him. Another question? All right.
You also said that it is not difficult to become free from the difficulty when we are performing devotional service and entangled ones.
It's not really difficult. We think it's difficult. That's the difficulty.
But then what happens is there is a tendency that when we face seemingly so many difficulties, we must be told that we should be enthusiastic. Yet what happens is...
we lose our enthusiasm?
We constantly told to be enthusiastic, but yet one breaks into this vows of lamentation and it's so tough and has made up repeatedly.
This is due to ignorance, Prabhu. One who has actually advanced in transcendental understanding becomes enlivened by everything. Like Kunti Devi, you see? Vipada, you know that shloka. Vipada shantitasvata tatra tatra jagan guru bhavanam darshanam yasyada punarvabhadarshanam. My dear Lord, please give me more and more difficulties because that's when I can really remember you. And when I remember you, I won't have to see any more the repetition of birth and death. So please, my dear Lord, keep me always in difficulty. That's my prayer. This is Kunti's prayer. You see? What a great Vaishnavi. What the greatest Vaishnavi, Kunti Devi. She's praying to always be in difficulty. So we're not so advanced to beg for difficulties. But at least when difficulties come, we should try to see the silver lining of the cloud, as Gandhi said. Should always try to see the blessing. Now, this is a blessing. You see. Then again, it's a very good example is Prabhupada. Back in the early 70s, Prabhupada noticed a contamination that entered into ISKCON, that his position as the founder of Acharya was being minimized more and more and more. Different ways it came out, little signs of it came out this way. He figured it's some poison that entered ISKCON from his godbrothers. And it was getting so bad that Prabhupada, that's when he formed the GBC, actually. He called many of the senior leaders to Los Angeles, and he formed the GBC. At that time, he asked Tamal Krishnamurti to come to his room, and it was Prabhupada was having so much difficulty with the society at that time. You know what he told Tamal Krishnamurti? He said, "Get me out of here." Can you imagine? And he said, "Where do you want to go, Prabhupada?" "Someplace far away." "How about Florida?" "That's a long way from Los Angeles, about 3,000 miles. Prabhupada said, "It's not far enough." That's when Prabhupada decided to come to India, and he started the preaching here, actually. Prabhupada later, actually he told us later on, at that time, he felt he was being driven away. It was, the difficulties were so bad, he saw the poison spoiling his society. The Prabhupada being minimized, his position being minimized. He went before the deity. He told us later on, "I went before Rukmini Dwarkadish and I prayed, my dear Lord, why are you sending me away?" He could not understand what was going on. It was bewildering even to Prabhupada. But then later on, he came here and, you know, the Bombay project came up, Vrindavan came up, Mayapur, all these big projects came out, huge success for our society. A whole new chapter of ISKCON. ISKCON India, you see, didn't exist before then. It was just ISKCON America and a few places in Europe. But then ISKCON India got its birth at that time. And Prabhupada understood this was Krishna's mercy, you see. So this wonderful preaching mission is now going like anything in India. It can get its solid footing, solid beginning, you see. So we have to have faith in Krishna. Even we can't at that moment realize how this is a blessing. It's just, we cannot begin to understand. Even Prabhupada couldn't understand. So what is our position? But we have to study even how Prabhupada realized in due course. And we have to have faith. That even I can't realize now why how this could be possibly a blessing to hear. I just came down with prostate cancer. What a heavy thing. I could never imagine that's a blessing. You see? But when one actually, then one in due course, one will see how everything is the blessing of Krishna. So we have to have faith in that principle. And always, and never lose faith in that principle. And then gradually, we'll see everything is the mercy of Krishna. Even the difficulties. Any other question? All right.
What did he say?
Vishnu Janmaraj
pastimes
chosen.
Oh, how many hours do we have? Vishnu Jan Swami was very, very special devotee. And Prabhupada told, actually, I was there in Austin when one letter came from Prabhupada. Vishnu Jamaraj was away, he was out doing something. We were all the brahmacharis were back at the temple. In those days in ISKCON, when a letter arrived from Prabhupada, it didn't matter who it was addressed to. Didn't matter. It was really not the proper etiquette, but in those days we were so enthusiastic about it. A letter came from Prabhupada, where everybody would get together and open it up. He wasn't even there. Vishnu Jamaraj wasn't there. It was a private letter to him, but we opened it up. That was the etiquette in the old days of ISKCON. So we opened up the letter, and Prabhupada said the most amazing thing. He told Vishnu Jan Swami, he said, when you were leading the kirtan in Los Angeles, I could feel how I was being carried to Vaikuntha. And I said, yes, that's right. Because I knew how Vishnu Jan Maharaj's kirtans had this great mystical power, great mystical potency. He came to Austin with no madanga, no cartels, no harmonium. He just had his voice in his hands. He stood out on the street and he attracted people immediately just by chanting, singing, one man singing Hare Krishna, clapping his hands. And within a few weeks, now he had no money, he had no facility, within a few weeks he had a temple building. Can you imagine? Filled up with devotees. I saw the whole thing happen. That's when I joined. I couldn't believe this person. The potency he had. He came with no money, no followers. He just had his danda, a blanket, a toothbrush, a razor blade, the original three Bhagavatam set, you know, the first canto, those three volumes, an old, Allen Ginsberg purple abridged Bhagavad Gita. He had practically nothing. And within a few weeks, he had a temple building filled up with devotees. It was absolutely amazing. We didn't, of course, in those days, we didn't have deities. We didn't even have, we had a little tiny picture, black and white picture cut out from Bhakti Gaudiya magazine of the Panchatattva. It was that big, and that was our altar. Can you imagine? Your little altar is a little black and white cutout of Panchatattva, that big, and that was our altar. And we were all a bunch of, you know, hippies. They didn't know anything. So Vishnu Jan had to do everything. He would offer the arti and he would lead the Gravastakam prayers. He did everything. And so here he was. I wasn't moved in yet, but I moved in shortly after them. I went early one morning and to attend. I walked a long way across town in the early, early hours to get to the temple for the morning program. And there Vishnujan Swami was. He was offering the arati and leading the kirtan at the same time, because we couldn't do anything. And there was no musical instrument. It was just his voice singing Gravastakam. And it was so oozing with nectar. It was just like Prabhupada said. It was like being on a mantra vimana. You just feel how you're being carried to the spiritual world. That's the nature of his chanting. Enchanting. And he attracted so many of us. Young hippies, you see. We become happies. As Prabhupada said, we are turning the hippies into happies. So he was amazing to see. Just amazing person. Just amazing qualities he had. He's very dear to my heart. Prabhupada wrote me one letter. He told me, and this reconfirmed it. He said, "You have been trained up under the expert guidance of His Holiness Vishnu Jana Maharaj." I never forgot that instruction. One amazing thing that happened to me was, we were feeling how he was giving us the mercy of Prabhupada. He was Prabhupada's transparent via media to give us the mercy of Prabhupada. It was unbelievable how he was just showering the mercy on us. And so at my initiation ceremony, it was a first in the history of ISKCON, the mayor of the city of Austin attended my initiation ceremony. It never happened before. A mayor of a city, especially a U.S., the capital of the state of Texas, the mayor came to my initiation ceremony because our temple president invited him and he showed up. It was amazing. So there was a picture in the newspaper. Vishnu Jamaraj was giving a Simply Wonderful to the mayor. So I mailed that picture to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada wrote me back. He was very happy to see how Vishnu Jamaraj was preaching to the mayor. You see? He wrote me back and he said, "Please give my blessings to Vishnu Jamaraj." And I was thinking, me? Give Prabhupada's blessings to Vishnu Jana Maharaj? How can I do that? But I was thinking, wow, this is really special reciprocation, because now he's been giving me the blessings of Prabhupada. Unbelievable. And now, even though I'm a completely unqualified nitwit character, Prabhupada has told me to give his blessings to Vishnu Jana Maharaj. So that was a very special nectar I got from Prabhupada in my relationship with Vishnu Jana Maharaj. I got to convey Prabhupada's blessings to him. But I couldn't believe that Prabhupada would tell me to give his blessings to Vishnu Jana Maharaj, but he did, Prabhupada did. So in this way, many, many wonderful... This was on November 7th, 1971. I remember because it was my birthday. That time, Vishnu Jamaraj had gone to open another temple down in San Antonio, about 80 miles south of Austin. And true to style, he was doing incredible dynamic preaching there. He went with one other devotee, Dvija Hari Prabhu, who just recently left his body. He went down there and they bought a used city bus. You know, where the door goes, psh, and you put the money in the little box. And they took all the seats out, and they made it a traveling kirtan mobile. And there was this famous spot in San Antonio, in Texas history. There's an old Christian Catholic mission called the Alamo, that's right. It's a famous place where the Texans fought a battle for independence and they all died. So it's like a holy tirtha in Texas called the Alamo. It's still preserved in downtown San Antonio. It's a big tourist attraction. So they would go down to the Alamo with this bus. And they put all kinds of... made a big mural on the side of the bus with all these cutouts from magazines explaining the Krishna consciousness philosophy in pictures. So people would come up and the whole side of the bus is filled up with this display, and people would come up and they look at the pictures. They invite them on the bus, And they have about 20 or 30 different types of percussion instruments. So everybody would get their little instrument, and they'd have kirtan, engage all the karmis in having a kirtan on the bus. So anyway, when I went down that day, there was a big program arranged at the Bexar County Jail that Vishnu Dhammaraj was going to give a lecture to all the inmates. So we went down, and he had a little apartment. We went in there, and that place was packed with guests. It was completely packed with about 60 guests in that little apartment. And Vishnu Dhammaraj was singing this tune. I'd never heard it before. And I sang it all the way back to Austin after the program, so I would definitely never forget it. And now everyone's heard the melody, but that's when he started, it was introduced to ISKCON by him at that time. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. He just kept going on and on, just rolling deeper and deeper into that ocean of nectar. So with the kirtan was going on, and then we got into the bus, we kept the kirtan going all the way across San Antonio. This bus full of chanting this kirtan, we went to the jail, and he told the inmates through the speaker, through the intercom system from the chapel, he said, "We are all in the jail of this material body, and now this is the mantra that will get you out of jail." And all the inmates were cheering all over through the whole jailhouse. "This will get you out of the jail." And he engaged them in chanting Hare Krishna. It was so wonderful. It was nicknamed, that kirtan was nicknamed the Jailhouse Rock. Unfortunately, I heard that one godbrother had a tape of it, but I don't know where that tape is. But if we could ever find that tape of the famous Jailhouse Rock, it would be a big hit in ISKCON. An amazing, amazing kirtan he had. All throughout the prison, you could hear the inmates cheering and chanting, and all the way up three floors away, you know, the whole place was vibrating with the holy name. So this was Vishnu Dhammaraj. He had an amazing potency. The main thing about him was, it was a festival. It wasn't like you have to wait a year to go to Mayapur or Vrindavan. No, he was a festival every minute. It was constant. Any just to be with him, you're at a festival. It's a constant festival. You wake up at a festival every morning with Vishnu Dhammaraj. But in our little temple, we had no brahmachari ashram. We just had the prasadam room. And we had a little closet. So we would all lay down. We all stayed together, Vishnu Dhammaraj and the brahmacharis. We would just like in a sardine can, you know, we'd all line up. Vishnu Dhammaraj would lay down on his back like this, put his hands like this on his chest, and we'd all lay down in a row beside him, and we'd sleep in a row like that together at night. So we were always together. 24 hours a day, we were together as a team. Brahmacharis, our sannyasi leader, Vishnu Dhammaraj, and we brahmacharis, you see. It was so sweet. It was so wonderful. And even when he left this planet, Prabhupada... it's described in detail something about that in that book of Vyasaki Prabhu. So anyway, that's enough for now. I'll give you more of Vishnu Dhammaraj nectar later on. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.